Welcome, everyone, to Music Junkies, a podcast about people sharing extraordinary stories about how music has impacted their lives.
Welcome, everyone, to Music Junkies. I'm your host, Annette Smith, and today we have a special guest. She works in music by day, makes YouTube videos by night. Her passion has always been in the music industry, and she even has a master's degree to make that happen. Please welcome Alexa to the show. I love it. Welcome. I'm so excited to have you. Yeah, I love what you do on YouTube. It's like super fun, very creative. Right. And I think it's absolutely amazing what you're doing right now. And I'm excited to have you here. But before I let you just spew all over your songs, I just want to know what your experience was putting your playlist together for me today.
It was so fun. It was like a mix of going down memory lane, but also like I just listened to that in the car last night, you know? So a lot of emotions, a lot of stories. So good times, good times.
Good. I love it. We're going to get started on your first song. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Boom. All right, Cars. Who does not love that song?
I mean, you know, let me just start here. I have an actually a recent story. I don't know if you're familiar with Cruel World Fest that happened in May in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl. And Susie Sue was a headliner. And guess who else was there? None other than Gary Numan. So I actually specifically went to that festival for not only Susie, but Gary. I've never seen him live. My boyfriend and a good friend of ours went and he played Cars and I just lost it. I was just in a zone. I was completely gone. Gone in the sense of like, I'm not talking drinks or anything. I mean, just like musically high. I felt like I was just somewhere, I don't know, some gravitational pull. He played Cars, played metal. I'm a real fan of the Pleasure Principle album. I mean, nothing but hit after hit. And we know it's not mainstream hits, but in my heart, in my soul, those are hit after hit after hit down in the park. I mean, just I can name them all day. So there's that story with that. But the story behind that song, I also know, which goes behind a road rage incident he had. So that was his whole like story behind it. He was driving one day and came into a little altercation with another driver. And that driver got out of their car and wanted to beat the shit out of him. And then he was like, no, I'll pass. This is fine. Got in his car, drove off, sped away. So when he says, here in my car, I feel safe, right? So he really, like, he's not just joking. Like, his full-on experience led to that creation. So I always love that story from his own driving experience. So if you know in L.A., where I'm from in L.A., Los Angeles, the driving is something else, let me tell you. So just love that song. I have personal ties to it, but also there's Gary's own driving experience.
So tell me about your last road rage episode on driving LA traffic.
That is not hard. It was on the way home today. So not too long ago, maybe about 2 hours ago.
I could not imagine. We call the highway here in Calgary is called Deerfoot, which is hilarious. And I call it like the Deerfoot 500, because like when you go on there, you got to be ready, you got to be prepared, right? It's probably nothing like LA, but still, it's like, I don't know if you've experienced this or maybe this is just me, but I feel like, okay, when COVID hit, then we're in this nightmare for like years. And obviously barely anybody's driving, but even when they are driving, I feel like the car has to be covered in a mask because that's how far they stay away from you. And then now I feel like it's like all out, balls deep. I'm going to hit you. I don't give a fuck where you are. Really? Look out. Really?
Let me tell you're preaching to the choir. Like, that's exactly what happened during the pandemic. Like, everybody was in their houses, not driving, not going anywhere. And then now it's a lot better, and people are just like, just let me out. Let me just, they just want to break free.
I know.
And we're seeing it. We're seeing it with people with summer now is here. So, tourism time, school's out for all the kids. College, kids and all that. So it's like we're really getting it. And of course, on top of that, you have like LA Hollywood, which is where I'm working from. So I'm like, 100 times more. So, but I can say, yes, it's tough if you're not used to LA traffic, but I'm so used to it now. It's like second nature. Someone cuts me off. Yeah, I get road rage, but then I'm like, and a minute later, I'm like, whatever, because I have to keep going. It's just, it's every day, an everyday occurrence, sadly.
I love it. All right,
Yeah.
next. Love this guy. MJ, Michael Jackson, Billie Jean, great hit.
You just can't get any better than that. I have a couple stories behind the song, actually. I'm a big like music video music junkie. I mean, obviously,
I love it.
we're not, Alexa. But like, as far as like documentaries, and I don't know if you remember pop-up video.
Yes.
They need that back. But anyway, just all the trivia, all the facts behind the song, the creation of it, all the ideas. Now, with this song, with Billie Jean, there are some mixed stories about this, and one is that Billie Jean was a name for, of course, a fictional name for a woman who was stalking Michael back in the day, and she was writing him letters saying like, "Oh, I have a kid, and I think it's yours," and she wouldn't like stop bothering him, so it was just so much for him that he kind of had to distance himself and was like, "You know what? I'm gonna take this into something creative," as he would, right? And make a masterpiece out. That's one story I heard. And then the other was Quincy Jones, I believe, said that that wasn't really the case. And Michael even kind of wanted to add to that and say, oh no, actually Billie Jean's a name. It's a kind of just a collective name for girls that were stalking his brothers in the Jackson 5. So like for groupies. So it's
Yeah.
like, take it what you will, like, whatever you gather from that, who knows what the real deal is, but I think we can all say the lyrics kind of say some stuff in there. And then one more little fact on that is that Michael was so into the song and when it came to him, and he was just like really like the melody and all that. He was driving, or someone was driving, and he was in the car, and he didn't realize that part of the car was on fire. That first cyclist had to come up and was like, hey, your car is on fire. And it was said that Michael was just so into the song, he couldn't get it out of his head, and that he just didn't even notice. And you know what? Talking about LA traffic, you might see that. You might see that on a
Right.
weekly basis. Maybe nothing new.
You might. So I know that you love music videos. Or top five music videos. I don't want to say top one because I feel like you're gonna be like, ah, I gotta pick one. So I'm like, maybe top three, top five.
Okay. Right away, well, okay, Thriller, right away, right off the bat. I'm also not just someone who loves the 80s and nostalgia and all that, but I love scary stuff. I'm a spooky girl through and through. I mean, got some skeleton hands up here. And for me, Thriller is just like the perfect, it's like Halloween pop. You
Yeah.
know, it is everything Halloween pop. I love Thriller, so definitely Thriller. Another would have to be Knock on Wood.
Oh, great
So
song.
I'm doing disco now.
Yeah, I love it.
I love that song so much. I also love disco a lot. So, the whole nostalgia, it's not just 80s, it's also 70s too. I would say another great one is Lullaby by The Cure.
Nice.
That one, again, creepy, spooky, and just so creative. I love a lot of the Cure's music videos. They're my favorite band. I'm wearing their shirt today. So top three there. There's so many. It's really hard to.
I know.
But
I used to love when MTV came to the gym. Right, we're in grade 7 and they would play all the MTV music videos and we'd have like the MTV dance party. Those were like my favorite things to do in the 80s, 90s. Yeah.
So much. You're so lucky. I'm a 90s baby. I missed the 80s by a decade. So little jelly, just a tad. But I love hearing stories of people who were able to grow up like 70s, 80s. I could listen to people talk all day about what they did, like just on a regular day. Like, tell me, how did you listen to music? Where did you go? And what did you usually eat? And, you know, all that kind of stuff I can listen to for hours and hours.
Interesting. Why a two-player tape deck to start? I did have a wooden LP player forever. And actually, how I found out that I had it is my parents used to always try to like surprise me with things, but like in a really angry manner. So they're like, go upstairs and turn your fucking music off. So I'm like, what the hell? So I went upstairs and there was this like wooden, big, massive LP player. And they bought me the Michael Jackson album with that. Right. So that was pretty cool.
I would have died if
I was
my
pretty stacked about that.
I would have just on the spot. Like, honestly, that just sounds like a dream. So I'm happy you had that experience in real life.
Right.
Like the whole time, the era growing up, middle school, it was those stereo sets in the like mid 2000s. Do you remember that? Like,
I used to have lots of those.
Oh yeah. That was my like kind of LP thing going during that time. And then later I was like, no, I'm a vinyl girl. Like, you know, so I can only wish I grew up during those times.
But now you still get to experience them. That's what's really cool. And the fact that you have some Stevie Nicks on your album, pretty cool. I can always tell I'm going to have an amazing podcast with somebody when their playlist is as good as yours.
Oh my gosh, am I blushing? Thank you. This song, I just remember, actually, the story behind this one is, I have two. One is personal. It was the first ever song I heard of Stevie Nicks. I wasn't listening to Fleetwood Mac at the time, didn't know about that history. As an 80s girl, I was a little girl who just fell in love with the 80s, probably 8, 9 years old. And I remember that song came in and it just grabs you just the first few beats. Right. And I was just like in it already. And then she started singing and then like, I don't know, it was just the whole thing. And for me, that was just my introduction to Stevie. And then since from that point, it was like, I Want to Be With You Everywhere was after that. I backtracked to, you know, Rumors and all that. But that was my introduction to Stevie. And then the story behind that is I remember once again watching my little documentaries, Behind the Music, pop-up video, that she was thinking of a song. She had lyrics. And she called up Prince. And they were on the phone and she was like, you know, I have this song. Let me just tell you a little bit about it on the phone. And he was like, you know, Prince, once you tell him, he's going to go all the way with it. You know, that's the reputation musically. And she told him just this much. And he was like, you know what? Come down. Like, I don't know if it was the same day or the next. It was a close, you know, day after or so. And she went over and he had the whole thing, like he put together everything, you know, basically what she gave him and what she was envisioning and what she wanted. And it was just like destiny that they worked together on that. And I remember learning that later on. And I was like, no wonder, because I'm a huge Prince fan too. And so I picked up on that, I guess, when I first heard that song by Stevie and was like, wow, this is really awesome that they collaborated. So one of my favorite songs of the 80s for sure, and probably my favorite of Stevie Nicks.
I love it. What do you love about the 80s so much?
Right away, it's the music, first and foremost. A close second, I'm not sure if it's the fashion or the movies, but I want to say the fashion, because I can do with just the music and dressing up and having fun and dancing. But the movies are just, I can't just say no to that. Like the John Hughes films, I'm a huge Pretty in Pink girl. I mean, that's why I wear pink, to be honest. I have a very goth heart, but I love bright colors, so neons,
Yeah.
pastels, 80s, and I just kind of blend the two. And I try to do that also in my channel and what I do. But definitely the fashion and in the movies, just like taking that all in. It's really like a time machine when you
Yeah.
watch movies and listen to music from those times.
So,
So yeah.
favorite soundtrack from an 80s movie?
Ooh, I would have to say Pretty in Pink,
Yeah.
because you have New Order on there, Psychedelic Furs, and then the Rave Ups, which, they perform a couple live songs in the movie, the scene where Andy's taking Ducky and her friend, I forgot her name, the one who works at the record store. They're all at some bar seeing a show, and the performers are the Rave Ups. They're actually a band, and I think they started out in somewhere else in the States, and then now they're in LA. And when they moved to LA is actually when they got big.
Yeah.
And then, of course, John Hughes, he was always ahead of the game when it came to music. He was always listening to it. There was always pictures of him like just listening with headphones on and kind of studying and preparing for his next film and what music would fit that. So he was always ahead of that, which was very inspiring. And again, it just ties back to music. So if there's anything in life that I like or love, you can probably trace it back to
To
music.
music. I love it. Next song. My uncle slept with both of these girls, so it's pretty cool that you have this on your playlist. So, Heart, Barracuda.
I mean, again, once you hear the first few riffs, the notes, you just know. You already know. For me, this song, it's like in your face, like I'm not gonna take shit from you. I'm a badass woman. I'm done. I'm just gonna rule the world. It's very that energy, and I love it. It's powerful, and it's a perfect anthem,
Yeah.
so that they used it in the trailer for the Meg 2. I don't know if you saw the Meg 1, where it's
Have.
kind of okay.
I'm a B shark movie crazy fanatic as well.
Oh.
I make all my kids, like they're older now, they're like 28 and 25, but through their whole life, we like do this special thing where we get an 80, it doesn't even have to be an 80, just like a B horror movie. And we all pick players. And for some reason, I'm always sleeping with my husband's brother in every single movie. It's very strange. We're like, we always pick each other's players. And then I'm like, why am I sleeping with Brent again in every fucking movie? I'm sleeping with your brother. So it's fun. And then the last person standing is the winner. So we laugh and we just watch Cocaine Bear like that.
Oh, I still have to say that. I was waiting for like not having to pay for it. Hey, I'll wait, but I will say I've seen Santa Jaws, and I have a feeling you've seen Santa Jaws.
I need to write this down because I don't know if I don't think we have.
Please do. And of course, it's a play on Santa Claus, but it's a shark movie that takes place during Christmas time, and it's just B shark movie heaven, maybe even C movie. So, the better. And I'm a huge Jaws fan, so sharks, specifically great whites, I love them. I will never get close to them ever in my life, but from a distance through the screen, I will take it all in. And back to Barracuda, they used that song for the Meg 2 trailer. And I lost it. Well, I'm gonna lose it a lot on here. So when I say that, I mean I really lost it. I was so happy that like I paused the trailer, and I think I told my boyfriend or I don't know who I was with at the time, maybe at work or something, and then I was like, do you know that they're playing Barracuda for a shark movie? Like the two worlds are colliding right now, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. Someone who's a shark fan, Jaws fan, and then like you have heart coming together. It was just the perfect mix, So there's that story. And then, are you familiar with how they came to write that song and what it was about?
No, I'm not.
So, from my understanding, the label, back then, they were like, bad PR sells, bad publicity sells records, right? So they came up with this nifty little story about the two, members that they were sleeping with each other and just, going with that. And it wasn't true. They got pissed and were like, we'll show you, label. And so they made Barracuda as like a comeback or a diss track, if you will. So
Yeah.
there's that one.
I like it. So, what is your obsession with Jaws? When did it start? How far have you gone? What do you own?
When you say how far have I gone in the water to my knees, I will never go past that at a beach. Ask anyone. And that's the weird thing is that like I'm so fascinated with that, but I won't go physically in reality into the water too deep because I know what can happen, I guess.
Yeah.
And just not knowing what's underneath you for me freaks me out. But I think what it is like I was kind of looking up psychology of why do people love horror movies, right? I love horror movies. And one thing I read is that it's because it's not real. And so like it gives you like a an adrenaline or like some type of like a
Dopamine.
jolt energy, because you're like, oh my God, this is happening, but it won't happen to me. Like it won't really happen.
Yeah.
So I think kind of that. It's my way of being able to kind of explore that without getting hurt or anyone else getting hurt. You know what I mean?
I like that. I love that. That's awesome. So do you have like a Jaws onesie? What do we got here for clothing?
I'm looking that way because I have like a I call him Bruce after, of course, Bruce the shark. It's a little stuffed animal, great white shark. Had him for a few or several years now, like 7. My boyfriend gave it to me as a gift, and I will keep that thing until I don't know it withers away. But I have a bed next to me, and then I actually have a art piece on this side, as if you can see, of like I don't know if you're familiar with Mexican Loteria, like
Yeah.
the game. So it's like a picture of Jaws like going up to the surface, and then it says, I forgot what it says, but it's something like cheeky, how they match it up with like the
Yeah.
Loteria. So it's blending my Mexican heritage with like one of my favorite movies of all time. So I have those in like arm's distance from me. You just can't see them.
I love
Headbands with Jaws. It goes real deep. Just talking about going into the deep, pun intended, with Jaws.
That's hilarious. All right, next song.
All right.
with some poker face, Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah. I've seen her twice. And I say twice because she's so worth seeing at least twice. And that song for me personally, it's tied to one of my best friends. And we worked together. We met over 10 years ago. We're still thick as thieves. And he actually lives in Texas. I'm in California, and we make it work. Long distance friendships are real, people. They can happen. They work. Okay. So, you know, that's our song. It came out in 2008, but we started working together probably 2010. And just every time we would hang out, we would listen to Lady Gaga, and it was always Poker Face, so much so that he put that as his ringtone. So every time I was around him, he got a call, I would hear that. His voicemail, if you leave a message, Poker Face. We tried learning the dance and soon gave up. It's a real number, let me tell you. It's a great workout, so maybe if you want to do it for the summer, but a girl gets tired, maybe one day, but there's just so much behind that. And with Lady Gaga, like, I don't know if you're familiar with her story behind that song, but for her, it's like, you know, Poker Face, she's playing two different people. And she was talking about her bisexuality, that she was with a man, but then thinking about a woman and just playing those two roles. And I didn't know it was that deep, you know, of a meaning behind the song. I thought it was just some fun pop song that was like, okay, let me get this dance or pretend I know it, right? But no, it was, she actually was like trying to express herself, her identity. And I think that's what's so beautiful about music is like, yeah, you can have fun and you don't have to think hard about it, or you can really think about it and look deep into the lyrics, read between the lines, and people tell their stories through them. So I think that was very brave of her, and she got a huge pop hit. I mean, we all know it's one of her.
That's right. Songs.
Yeah.
I agree. I do have a question for you, though. I am curious if you can tell me a little bit about Betty Bones.
Oh my gosh. I was supposed to, you know what? Part of her, I was going to bring her behind me, but no time there. She's in a room behind this wall. And the poor thing, I have not changed her clothes in like, I don't know, 6 months. And if anybody's wondering, Betty Bones is a fake skeleton. She's not real. So I would never leave someone in the same clothes for that long. She became a member of our family about two Halloweens ago. It was my first time having Halloween in our own place, moving in with my boyfriend. And we're big spooky people, love horror. And we're like, you know what? This skeleton that's as big as me looks great at Lowe's, and it will look even better in our house. So, and we like to make the most of our purchases. So we keep her out all year round. She's actually sitting on the couch, one of the couches in our living room behind the wall. And we dress her up for every month or every holiday. So coming up is, oh my gosh, it's still Jaws month. So I should put on her headband.
You should. So,
I have a Jaws headband for her. Wow. Thank you, Annette.
I think it's awesome. I love it. I've seen her in lots of your videos. So I was like, this is awesome. I have a good friend named Freeman, and he is like an Iron Maiden out of control fan. I don't think I've ever seen him not wear an Iron Maiden t-shirt ever in like 9 years. His whole garage is all Iron Maiden. So when I started this podcast 3 years ago, I'm like, we're going to go on a road trip. And I convinced him, because he's super shy, I'm like, dude, you got to be on my podcast. You love Iron Maiden. I'll come there. We'll like do the show in the garage. It'll be like I'm doing my first traveling Music Junkies podcast. We'll have the garage all full of Iron Maiden, and he has a skeleton too that he does the same thing with. So when I seen yours, I was like, I have to ask her, like, is this just random or do you have it? Like, Freeman has his skeleton always out, always doing something. I can't remember if he has a name though. I can't remember.
I'm sure. Well, Betty's talking through the wall and she says she's available. So, you know, if there's some connection there.
We should get those two together.
Yeah,
I love it.
Part of the
speaking
family.
Of speaking of Betty Bones, this is kind of interesting. Hey, did you love this song more or the movie more of this maniac?
That is really hard for me to answer. I was just thinking about that. Do you have ESP or something? Because I was like, do I love the song or the movie better? I really, so that's so hard to ask or to answer. I can't pick because it's like, I feel like that's what makes the movie, you know, that scene, that song. Really, if you take that song out, the movie's great, but that's a big part of it.
Okay, you can dance in water. You can dance anywhere, really.
Oh yeah. So I answered my own question. I think the song then, again, tie it all the way back to music. You know, you'll find it out. You know, sooner or later.
That's right. Do you have a personal story behind that song?
Actually, I do. Well, it's just my again. Those early songs that introduced me to the 80s. I believe it was on, now this was the time where like CDs were being burned. And my dad, he was partially responsible for introducing me to the 80s. He would DJ back in the day and like go travel to Mexico and like in the States and all that and play. And he was like, oh, like, let me give you this 80s mix because you love music so much or 80s music. I was like, okay. And so I played it, and then I heard Culture Club, and then after that, this song, Maniac, came on, and I was like, oh my God, like, what is happening? Because, it just starts, it goes wild from the get-go. And then it was a song that I was introduced to first. Then I watched Flashdance and was like, okay, this is the connection here. It makes sense now. So... For me, it was the whole introduction to 80s music once again, my love, my first, you know, love, and then a wonderful movie to go with it, you know, that story. So that's what I have for Maniac. Oh, and there's a great cover out by, I can't think of the artist right now. It's not Kavinsky. I don't think it is, but it's one of the newer, they call it like vaporwave artists. This time, but they do a cover of Maniac, and it's pretty cool. If I remember, mention it later.
So I want you to walk me through a little bit about how your podcast got started. What's it called? What do you kind of do on there? Where is it evolving? Where is it going?
Right. So this all started first and foremost the love of music, the love of 80s. They're the same. They really are. I can't have one without the other. And so I had all this passion for these two things. And it came to a point where it's like, okay, listening to music's great, but it's not enough. Watching the movies, not enough. Dressing like it, clearly. Wait, can you see the studs? There we go.
I can.
Not enough, right? So I was like, I need more. I need to be in it more, right? So I was like, looking for channels or podcasts that talk about it, but I enjoyed that too, but it's like, well, why can't I share my voice and what I love? And because it's different, we're all unique, different experiences and interests. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go through with it. I'm just going to start something and then build from there. So really it's kind of like what I envisioned with the VJs. Remember all that music videos, going back to that again, it's like having a show where you talk about music, but not just that. It's movies. It's also stuff that's going on today that was influenced by, you know, for example, you have Beetlejuice 2 that's in the works right now. And the original was in the 80s. So it's like talking about the old, but also the new influenced by the old. And I love all that. And so it's just really sharing that passion with other people who have similar interests And finding that community and like coming together with all that, like that's really important to me. I know I'm not the only 80s girl, spooky girl, nerd, nostalgic nerd. Like I'm not the only one. And where it all comes together. You know, I love goth music. I love new wave. I love dark wave. I love disco. I know I am not the only person who has a goth heart but loves her Donna Summer. You know what I mean? They're not really exclusive. So for me, it's kind of a place for people who have interests, but kind of, you know, in the same realm to just come together and say, oh, me too. Or guess what? This happened. And I want people to share their experiences and all that. So it's community and then also representation. You know, I'm a Latinx Latina. I'm a third generation Mexican American on one side and fourth generation on the other. I had to take a minute. I'm sorry about that. It's been a long day. But yeah, just going through all that and representation is like, you know, what do I see out there now that I don't see with representing people like me, especially Latinx women? You know, like we have voices too, and they're not always mainstream. We all know that in entertainment. Yeah. So again, it's like a place where people can come as a community, but also be represented. And from all that, from all the spooky, from all the nostalgia, I'm putting together everything I talk about. They're spooky or nostalgic or both. And we just talk about it all. Music, movies, events, hauls. If I did a haul video recently where I shopped and I had stuff that reminded me of the 80s or goth culture, you know? And on top of that, it's just like making sure everybody knows that it's okay to have all these different interests. And that there is representation. And what I want it to move to is not just a one woman show. My whole plan from the beginning was I would love to have other people on too, just like how you're doing with your podcast, which I think is so fucking awesome because that's what I'm aspiring to do. Again, representation. I want to bring on some newer dark wave, new wave. Even maybe disco influenced groups, artists, and we talk, and they're from local areas or organizations that are really awesome and helping the community, you know, and just spreading the word out, or other creators, people who are podcasters, just all of us, not me having my show, but having other people and sharing their perspective, their journey. And making sure we're all represented and letting people know we're here.
I love it. It's perfect. I think more
That's
to do that. For sure.
thank you. That's everything in a nutshell. I mean, I don't think I took one breath during that whole thing, but
What's your podcast called?
it's I am starting with a YouTube channel and it's the Nostalgica. And I did a play on nostalgia
I love it.
and Chica, because like I want to play homage to my Mexican American hair, you know, background and put it out there. So that's really the everything behind that name.
Yeah, I love it. And I watch your stuff and I think it's super creative, like I said earlier. And I'm excited to see where you're going to grow to. So that's really cool. I love it.
That means so much.
All right, next song.
Right.
Just love the beginning of that song. Roller coaster. Super fun.
I was waiting too. I was like, come on,
I know. God damn it, copyright. God damn it.
I
Right.
know.
Crazy. So before you answered that song, I am because you have been talking about your heritage a little bit. So I am curious, what is one thing that your grandfather taught you?
I would say The most important, one thing. You know what? The one thing is to be myself, to not be afraid to be myself. And that's multidimensional, intersectional, as a Latinx woman, as someone who is doing something for the first time and was first afraid to, well, what are people going to think? I'm starting a channel. Like, you know, that goes through your mind, and you kind of have to just let go and just do it. And so I would say that's probably the number one thing he's taught me is, like, I could hear him right now going, Mija, who cares what they think or they say? Just do it. So definitely not to be afraid to be myself.
I love that. I love that. All right, now back to the song. Tell me why you love it.
Okay, well, again, back to some spookiness here. My personal experience is not like that deep, except that I remember hearing the song for the first time at a family pool party in like the 90s. I was super young. And if you know anything about us Mexicans, we love to just like have the carne asada going. We have beers on deck. We have it all ready for you. And the music's just going. And you're hearing music that's like regional, mariachi, so Vicente. And then you have like Selena. And then you have like disco. It's just all an amalgamation of like different eras, right?
Yeah.
And for me, I remember hearing Roller Coaster of Love at one of the family parties for the first time. And then from there, I was, ooh, disco, I love this, you know? And then fast forward to, I don't know if you're a fan of the Final Destination movies.
Yes. But
tying it back into scary stuff, right? I have to. But the second one, I believe, yeah, it's the second one where that song is actually played. And I can't remember right now if it's the original or a cover, but it's playing while a couple of the actresses are in the tanning beds, or the characters I should say, and they're just frying to death. And it's like it's so funny because it's like they're frying to death, but then you have this like super hip like disco song.
Yeah.
It's a really funny, interesting scene. So there's the spookiness to that. And then just another thing with the song itself is actually there was a legend, like an urban legend. If you listen to the song, if you go in, there's a single version and then there's a album version. If you go about a minute and a half, I believe it's in the single version, or 2 minutes into the album version, you'll hear like a high-pitched screech. And a lot of people said ears that while they were recording, someone was losing their life somewhere. And then they were like, no, that's not what happened. What happened was one of the members actually has a very high-pitched kind of think of Minnie Riperton, Mariah Carey level. And that was just the note they were carrying. So for the longest time, people had these rumors like, oh my God, there's a story behind it. It's like, there's no story. It's an urban
legend.
These are people's talents. They can reach those octaves, you know, like, let's relax a little bit, okay? So there's that like funny story to it, which I didn't know. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, how did I not know this as a spooky person? But yeah, there's that. So
I know you love the 70s. What would be your go-to 70s outfit color to go clubbing in the 70s? Go to like Studio 54.
Oh, you don't know how many times with the same best friend who lives in Texas, we would always talk about, okay, so if we went to Studio 54, what would we do? We literally would talk about that and still do to a point. And I always picture myself definitely have to have platform heels, you know, chunky.
Yeah.
And metallic. I want a metallic pink, maybe rainbow, you know, on the front. And then I gotta have my bell bottoms. I mean, I love bell bottoms, and they're kind of having a moment, a resurgence, if you will, now. And I'm seeing that, you know, so some bell bottoms, probably denim, and then the top probably like a halter, you know, and something like just super like patterned or colorful. And then my hair, I don't, there's so many ways I can go with this, but
Yeah, you
really
can.
long straight hair, very 70s, like, you know, my hair has its own dance moves of its own, like very that, you know, and just big sunglasses, big sunglasses. And that's like everything that I would want for the 70s.
What's your favorite dance from the 70s?
I mean, I feel like I'm being a little too basic here, but probably the hustle.
Yeah, that's okay. It's nothing
Because I
wrong
know
with it. Do the hustle.
it to an extent, so it's based on what I know.
Do you want to share a little bit of the beginning for us?
It's just like I don't have the music, so I'm like doo, 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 doo. I had to kind of like play on the spot, but probably the hustle. But to be honest with you, I'm gonna keep it real. Just the whole like shaking your booty, this it goes a long way, let me tell you. And if you're wearing the right outfit, it really does. It
It really does.
you're in Studio 54 here all the time.
You are for sure. I love it. All right, this guy's good. Some David Bowie, Rebel Rebel.
Oh yeah. So this man, this brilliant being, RIP. Again, one of the first few artists I ever introduced to. And we know he's done music before the 80s and even after that. But my first song I ever heard of his was Modern Love. And that's just such a fun song. You know, it's to sing, to dance to just listen to. And that really like introduced me to his artistry, his music, and kind of like what I did with Stevie Nicks, where yes, I was introduced to the 80s version of theirs, their era, and then I kind of went back. So then that's where Rebel Rebel comes in. And that it, the twanginess there with the guitar, it's just so like I'm in a good mood. You know what I picture? I picture walking down the street on a beautiful sunny day. And nothing can bother me, you know, and Rebel Rebel, I feel comfortable in my skin, confident, and I can do anything and just have a good time. So I play that song a lot when I need that energy or I'm getting ready for something. And so I actually dressed up as Bowie as one of my costumes years ago, and it was his Ziggy Stardust era. So it was really fun doing that. And I would actually dress up as him again, but a different ego, you know? So
Yeah.
I would definitely do that. But it goes beyond that. It's just like so many songs of his that really mean a lot, and what he stood for, and just being himself during that time, like during the 70s, and having this androgynous form and not being afraid to do that. Again, he a rebel, right? Someone who's not afraid to just be themselves. So that goes even deeper than his artistry.
Yeah. So where would you bring that spike purse? Would you bring it to the 80s or the 70s?
Oh, that's a good question. I like the 70s because they wouldn't know what the heck to do. They'd be like, what is that? Like, what are you doing? Like, I would scare people off, and again, it doubles as a weapon, so that's what I would want it to do. The 80s, they'd probably be like, ah, I've done that. Haven't you heard of punks? You know, like, so
Yeah.
which in the 70s, there were punks, so toward the mid 70s, so I would probably early 70s bring that purse out, you know.
So, have you taken that purse anywhere? Have you worn it anywhere?
Not yet. I'm telling you, when I say I had a day, I've had a day. And what I mean really mean is I had a weekend of hardly any rest. So I'm running on fumes. And the last thing I wanted to do was take a brand new purse that I love and just bring it with me from place to place, rushing, running around. I didn't want to bang it up. So I have it over there kind of sitting. And I look at it every day because I come in here clothes for the day. And I'm like, ooh, very soon, I promise you. I look at it to remind myself I have it, and then I'm gonna pick the day, probably this weekend, more chill, you know?
Or you're gonna have to take a picture of you with it, and then I'll put it on the podcast.
Oh, I would love that. Okay, now see, there's incentive there. There's incentive. I'm also, just to add a little context, I'm someone who, when I buy something that I really, I don't always wear it right away. It's like this thing where like I want take care of it and I admire it, and then I'm like, okay, I find the perfect time to start using it. I'm a creature like that.
It's nothing wrong
Very
with it at all.
oh.
All right, next song. We talked about them. Hey, close to me. Here.
Where do I begin? I can start with the easiest answer. They're my favorite band in the whole fucking world. I say it proudly. I say it loudly. I will say it at the mountaintops to the depths of the ocean. Even though I'm deathly afraid of the ocean, I would do it for the Cure and the Cure only. And it's exactly why I wore their shirt today. And this was from the recent show they had in May. I saw them here at the Hollywood. Incredible. I mean, 20 out of 10. Like, if I mean, just blew my mind away. I saw them a few years prior at the Pasadena Rose Bowl, and then even before that at the Hollywood Bowl. So it's my third time seeing them. My boyfriend and I, it's our third time, and it's kind of not like my thing, but our thing now. And
Yeah.
so it also has that special element to it, that intimacy. And I just remember listening to The Cure close to me, and just like Heaven, I can't put my finger on which one I technically heard first as a child, but that it's hard to pick. I can't quite nail it, but it was one of the two, very close together. My mom was playing it in the car, and I was probably 8 or 9 years old. And I just remember, like, I couldn't get the melody out of my head. But at that time, there was no like Spotify or some type of technology where you can hum into it and it would tell you the song.
Yeah.
So for this time, I would sing it to myself, and I would tell my mom, like, "Mom, what's that song that goes like this?" And picture an 8-year-old trying to like sing or sound out the melody to "Close to Me" or "Just Like Heaven." My mom would be like, "I don't know what song you're talking about. I'm sorry." Finally, YouTube, I found that out and was like, oh my God, it's this song by The Cure. And so that all started then, and it hasn't stopped. It's just the love for my favorite band has just grown stronger and deeper and wider ever since. And I will keep seeing them as long as I can. And those are just that Close to Me song is just one of the first ones I ever heard of theirs.
So, out of the three concerts, were all of them very similar or quite different?
They were different. I want to say my favorite one of the three was the last one I went to. It was this one at the Hollywood Bowl because they were actually playing songs from their earlier albums. So
Yeah.
like before they became mainstream. So think of 17 Seconds, Faith, Pornography albums, all great albums. And I just remember like playing a forest, and there's just so many songs. And funny because like I listen to them all the time, and right now I think I'm just such in a like world of like I just can't think clearly. But any song off those albums, off many of the Cure albums, I will listen all the way through. Three Imaginary Boys was their first album, released in 79. That is one of my favorite, if not my favorite, albums of theirs. And it's not even really consider goth, you know, it's
Yeah.
really, and I'm a post-punk girl too. And the thing I love about The Cure is, even though they've taken on that goth culture, and especially Robert Smith as like the goth father, you know, king of
Yeah.
goth. He doesn't really identify himself as that, or even the band as a whole, because they're, I love the way he put it. He's like, we're not just goth, we are just the Cure. And I was like, you know, the man has a way with words, clearly in his music, but also when he's talking about it, he loves his artistry so much. But yeah, I mean, the love with the Cure will never stop. Clearly, we could do a whole podcast on the Cure. We really could, and I would not
Good
stop.
though. You gotta, and I feel the love like that for Prince, right? Like I absolutely obsessed with Prince. I love Prince. So I think all of us have a love for a few singers or one in particular where we absolutely just love this band or love everything about it. And that's what makes music so powerful, right? And that's what I appreciate about these artists is that they can go and completely change a state of a human completely, which is pretty crazy. So we're on your last song. Are you ready? I'm excited about this one.
Okay.
Talking a little bit about disco, but this is pretty cool. Right? Some Donna Summers, Bad Girls. We should
You
be
just
fit.
Can't get more disco. You can you get more disco than
I
Donna
don't
Summer?
know. I don't think so.
It's a great question. I don't think so. And for that reason, to me, she's the queen of disco. She really is. And she just has hit after hit. And then it's not just the 70s. She was able to adapt into the 80s. Works hard for the money. That is such a great song. So that's Donna. Like perfect, because she's in these two eras, two decades that I absolutely love, and just her style and her music. Like you said, disco was like uplifting people's spirits and letting ape, and all their troubles would go away once they hit the dance floor. And that's how I feel when I listen to music. It's why I listen to The Cure, why I listen to Donna, probably why you listen to Prince. It's there for us. Music is there for us in the good times, but also in the bad. And I feel like with music, it's that constant in my life. It's something that was always there and never left and will never leave. You know, as long as we have things to hear the music with, you know, it won't go anywhere. And I love that about it. And like you said, it really changes people's states and their emotions and where they're at. You know, I love the ability of just the pure art and joy message of music can do that. It's so powerful that I would argue there's nothing else. I'm not talking drugs and alcohol and all that. There's nothing else other than those things that really I think can do that. And it's universal. You don't have to know the words, or you don't have to understand the language.
Yeah.
Just a real quick, perfect example is I went to CoreWorld Fest, where I saw Gary Numan, and there was a band called Molche Doma, and they're newer, but they're very like goth post-punk sounding, and I believe they're from Russia, and they sing in all Russian. Like, I don't understand a fucking word they say, but that doesn't matter because the music is so good. It's like
Yeah.
I'm pretending I know what I'm saying. And you know, everybody at the festival was just living, you know? And so the beauty of music is just, it's universal. It can change people's spirits in the drop of a hat, and it's always going to be there. So totally resonate.
I love it. Thank you so much, Alexa, for joining us today on Music Junkies. But before I let you go, I would like for you to leave me some words of wisdom if you could.
Oh man. So looking through all the wisdom I had in my 30s life, it's funny. I have a colleague who asked me, what's the quote of the day? And I'm like, I can never think of one. But for me, I'm just gonna say what's there, and what it is just go for it. whatever you're thinking about, you're second guessing, you're doubting, we can be our worst critics sometimes. Just do it. Just do it. The worst thing that could happen is it doesn't work. And if it doesn't, go back to the drawing table and see why and try something else. You know, you get back up. So for me, just go, because you'll never know. I would have never done this if I would have just like stayed in my head, like, oh no, it's too much for people, or oh, I don't care anymore, because life is too short to not live the life you want to live. So just go for it.
That's awesome words of wisdom. I appreciate you so much. Please like, subscribe, follow her. I'll give her, give you all her social medias for you can stalk her, send her sharks, whatever she needs. Thank you again so much.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be on here and can't wait to listen to more upcoming episodes. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks for listening today. Hope you enjoyed the show. New episodes out every Monday. Please share with a friend and subscribe because you want to. And like me because you like me. Leave a comment so we can connect. And if you have a great playlist and you want to share, I'd love to have you on the show. Please reach out to me on Instagram at The Music Junkies Podcast.